Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, of course, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor or rabbi, and our quest today is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith, which will more than definitely answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. Now, at this time, I would like to introduce, and I have the honor, of course, to introduce the other co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello. I'm glad to be a co-host of the show with you, Rabbi. Of course, it's truly a blessing to share the truth of the word of Yah God. This is our 27th show, and we will continue to discuss the questions about the Holy Spirit. And I want to say thank you for the introduction and hand it back over to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And Father, we just we set aside this time, and we delegate this time to you. We make a conscious effort to present before you any sin, iniquity, and transgression that we may have done. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us the ability to forgive ourselves, which we do. And you've also given us that same ability to forgive others. So we choose, we make a quality decision right now to forgive those who have sinned against us and caused iniquity or transgression against us and our family. Father, we thank you and we glorify you for who you are and for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, we allow you this time to guide, to teach, to instruct, to encourage, and in areas where we need it, to reprimand and to correct, so that we may find ourselves in right relationship or in righteous relationship according to our Heavenly Father's mandate. So we thank you for that right now. In Yahushua's name. Amen and amen. Now I'll pass it back to Evangelist Tanita, and she will go ahead and ramp us back up and just really connect some of the dots and cross some of the T's that are still left out there as far as some of you who may not know where we are or exactly where we're going from this point. Okay?
Thank you, Rabbi. And so on the last show, you were giving us an example of a person who not only failed a test and a trial, but temptation. And it was King David. And the amazing thing is because of he found grace in Yah, he not only got to start over with another test, but he didn't have to back up to a trial or suffer the consequences of the temptation. You were also showing us the timeline in which the reason the temptation occurred is because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. There was a time that he should have been in another place. And we were over in 1 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 4, as well as Samuel 11, 1 through 5. And I know that you're going to continue to discuss, but one of the things you said, and I know you'll recap on this, was that there was some giants he was supposed to have killed, but because he didn't do it, some other things occurred. And so I'll let you continue, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi.
All right. Thank you so much, Evangelist Tanita. Let's begin with the last thing that you said, and that is to connect that, the bridge. There's a bridge here that often is not taught, either because it's not seen or for whatever reason, we tend to not think it's significant. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why it is significant is because the examples of the Old Testament are life lessons that we ourselves, once we apply it, help us to overcome our infirmities, our weaknesses, our trials, mm-hmm. our temptations, and our tests. Yeah. It's imperative that we understand that, and we really begin to allow the Holy Spirit to really speak to us about these things. So as we go back and just kind of recap and cover this, allow the Ruach, allow the Holy Spirit to begin to show you you, to allow you to see yourself in this example. Now, David has, and we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, okay? We'll probably start at verse 38, and in 38 and 39, you're going to find that this is where David meets his next challenge. Now, he's already fulfilled the promotion that was rightly divided for him and rightly given to him. It was divided because of the fact that in each triumph, the Father allows you the opportunity to allow it to simmer, to allow it to really resonate within you, and just to begin to understand more and more about the God that lives inside of you that wants to overcome every obstacle and every battle that you have. So David was beginning to learn how to get out of the way, to allow God to be God inside of him. These obstacles were opportunities for him to understand and allow that intimacy with God to really work for his good. With the bear, he allowed God to give him the instructions, the Holy Spirit, to instruct him on what to do. He didn't fear. He just walked in obedience. With the lion, same situation, same result, because he submitted to God and acted. He didn't question. He didn't hesitate. He didn't allow the spirit of timidity to come, but he allowed the spirit of faith and obedience to come. That's why with Goliath, there was literally no fear in the young man. Not at all. Now understand this. This young man was an expert. He had become an expert with the slingshot. And I want to make sure that that is understood, because he did not need more than one stone to kill Goliath. It's imperative that we understand, and we learn that through a lot of the battles that his army as king began to go through with him, that there were other giants that those stones had their names on. And King David was assigned during his lineage, during his time period, to fulfill the execution of those giants. So we come to that point where 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 37 through about 40, and especially 40, where he begins to pick up these stones, knowing that it was divinely ordained by God for him not to just deal with Goliath. He was looking so far past Goliath, and so was the Father. He was looking at annihilating all of these particular giants, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. These giants in the natural represented in the spiritual giants in his life. Can we relate to this? Do we have giants, spiritual giants in our life, that we have no idea in and of ourselves and by ourselves that we could ever achieve or accomplish the victory over them? Let's use and learn the example from David. First Samuel, chapter 17, starting at verse 37, 38. Okay? And you're going to go read all the way to 40.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. And that's the end of verse 40.
Okay. Verse 37 to 38, David begins to understand. No, I'm just going to say he begins to understand, and he helps King Saul to understand that David himself can only be obedient to what Yah has told him to do.
Amen.
That he can't wear King Saul's mantle. He can't use King Saul's armament because he would fail. He says and uses the word, I have not tested them. The Father does not allow you to go into a battle until you've been tested. He will not give you a more difficult assignment than the assignment at which you had passed. David knew and understood that he had passed the different tests with the bear, with the lion. And he was conveying to King Saul that this self-same God that I believed in, trusted in, and am walking with, and are learning how to be obedient to, is the same one that will help me to be victorious over this particular giant. We have to understand, David had no idea as to how this was going to happen. But he didn't need his own idea. He didn't need to formulate his own plan. He just needed to make sure that he heard the voice and the instructions of the Lord specifically, without flaw, without static, and then muster up the same courage, the same faith to act upon what he did with the lion and the bear. He picked up five stones. At that particular time, there were five giants. He knew that within himself that God would not give him five stones so that he could miss. He didn't have five stones so that he could miss the bear or the lion. So he knew that he would not miss. Plus, he had honed his skills. All he had to do was be obedient, wearing someone else's armor, doing it the way someone else says that you need to do it. Now, understand, wisdom and knowledge is important, and you take that wisdom and knowledge that someone gives you, and you go to the Lord to see what he says pertaining to that. Moses received wisdom from Jethro. And then he went and began to shema that wisdom, begin to listen, extract intelligence and understanding about what he received. And then once he got the go-ahead from God, he obeyed and implemented that. And it made his life so much easier with the children of God and counseling them. But King Saul was warning David to literally listen and give the advice that King Saul had. Use his armor when the Father had not warranted that, had not sanctioned that, had not given his approval to that.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we submitted ourselves to instructions that within our spirit man really doesn't agree with
mm-hmm.
the chiastic structure, with the call, with the purpose, with what the Father is having for us to do? Whenever that is the situation, you are trying to prove or to test someone else's armor for someone else's chiastic structure. David was literally saying to King Saul, that's what God has for you. But it doesn't work for me. It will hinder me. It will hinder my walk. It will hinder the purpose. I will not fulfill my destiny. I will not deal with the giants that not only affect me, but affect all of Israel. These giants affected all of Israel. And we see later, where in the area where King David became king and did not fulfill his assignment, they grew worse in having children. It is imperative that we fulfill our assignment. It's imperative that we follow through with what the Holy Spirit tells and calls us to. Elijah did not follow through. And it took three individuals to fulfill what Elijah, one person, was predestined to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's repent right now of any sabotage, any failed attempt of fulfilling our destiny that we've allowed ourselves to be and to do, or delays that we've allowed. In King David's aspect, he had a delay, and this delay cost not only him but the kingdom. We're inwardly connected and knit together. I can't say that my failure to fulfill the call and the purpose that he has for me won't be a hindrance or a delay or a problem for you. We're interconnected in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we ask forgiveness right now.
Yes.
For delays. We ask forgiveness for abortions. Some of us have had abortions.
Mm-hmm.
We've just totally aborted the purpose and the plan and the call for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you to forgive us for that. We take full responsibility for our actions, but we also ask that you deal with the adversary, deal with the enemy.
Yeah.
Because he was the one that initiated the abortion. He was the one that initiated the delay.
Yeah.
He was the one. And all of his imps with him. So, Father, we ask, and I ask forgiveness for that right now.
Yeah.
Cleanse and purify us. Cleanse and purify me.
Yeah.
Do as you did with Jonah. When Jonah had a delay, he realized where he was wrong and where he had wronged God. He repented. The Father forgave him. And then had the big fish or the whale drop him off in the area where he would have been if he naturally would have been walking for those 2 to 3 day journey. So he literally lost no time. Father, you are in control of time. Some of us need our time redeemed. So we ask you right now to be the Father of time.
Thank you.
And redeem that time for us. We thank you for that redemption. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you that Yeshua is not just an individual, but it's also a significant emotional event, redeemed. So, Father, we thank you for the individual, yes. But we also thank you for the redemption of time. Redeeming us over the significant emotional events that we've had in our past.
Yeah.
We thank you for that. In Yahushua's name. Amen. So back to the story. Let's jump in from there. Now that we've helped to really begin to see how important it is when in the Father gives us instructions, he doesn't repent. He doesn't repent from his instructions that he gives us. The instructions that he gives us, if we don't do it, then it causes catastrophic situations down the road. So now we're jumped back into that first Chronicles chapter 20.
Mm-hmm.
And in First Chronicles, we know that in chapter 20, verse 1, we were dealing with the situation.
Yeah.
With the battle and with the fact that Joab had stepped in. He literally stepped in the place where King David was supposed to be. Because remember in verse 1 it says, at the time that kings go out to battle, Joab, second in command,
mm-hmm.
led forth the power of the army. That was supposed to be King David. Okay? So after that, we know that when we go further, we go back to what? Verses 2 and 5. In mm-hmm. verses 2 and 5 of 1 Chronicles chapter 20, we see that there's another test. So the Father is actually giving him a reprieve. And at that test, we realize that one of these giants that had children was slain.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 4. So we're still trying to, or the Father's still trying to get him back into his chiastic structure. Back
yes.
to where he's supposed to be. Amen? All right?
Yes, amen.
Now, from there, what I want you to do is I want to go ahead and have you kind of read up a little bit ahead to where King David saw Bathsheba, because that's the trial.
Okay.
And we talked about that trial, okay? But we want to read that. I think it's in around verse 5, if you can go ahead.
Verse 5
will be, this will be verse. Okay. This will be verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 11.
Okay, yes. All right, that's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I am there.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so.
All right, well, why don't we go to verse 2 and then go 2 through 5 of chapter 11 of
yes.
the 2 Samuel.
Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 11,
okay.
starting at verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? The wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he laid with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived.
Okay, stop
so
there for just a second. All right, because we want to ramp up some Hebraic idioms. All right.
Yes.
One of the reasons why she was bathing. One of the reasons mm-hmm. why she was bathing is because once a woman has had her period, had her menstrual
mm-hmm.
cycle, then she bathes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand this, and I know with this it's maybe hard for some of you to accept this, but she was not ignorant with what she was doing. And I'm going to say that again. She was not ignorant of what she was doing. The whole kingdom was aware that King David stayed back from the battle. The whole kingdom. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Over time, you get an opportunity to figure out, you know, when individuals, you know, go out and walk on the deck and different things like that. Okay? And please understand, if he could see her, then that means she could see him.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. If he was walking on the terrace and he could see her, then that means that she could also see him. Did you get that? So what that tells me is that there have been times when she was looking over at that terrace, because she knows where he lives. Everybody knows where King David lives. And she would see him walking. Now, I know some of this gets into, you know, conjecture or speculation, but trust me when I say this. You know, according to Torah, if a woman is in the city and she is raped, she is supposed to scream. If she screams, then other people hear her. Then she's not guilty, but the person that was raping her is totally guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In this particular passage, he asks for her. She has just went through her purification.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to his house, and she does not put up a struggle whatsoever. If there is no struggle, then you have two consenting adults.
That's right.
Two. If you have two consenting adults, she wanted him as much as he wanted her.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially even be said that she may have wanted him more because she was aware of what was going on. She was aware of him seeing her. She was aware of the fact that he immediately asked for her audience.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize you just, you know, showed your body,
mm-hmm.
went through the purification mm-hmm. process. He saw you, knows you're pure.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately ask for an audience with you. Then while he's there, he obviously, you know, shares his desire. And at that point, you should have said, no, I'm married, this is wrong, and leave.
Mm-hmm.
But not only did you not, but you were consenting. And in the process, whether it be this particular time or other times down the road, which it doesn't say, you come up pregnant.
Right.
And in you coming up pregnant, you go and contact King David. You don't send word to your husband, who's on the battlefield. You contact King David, and you say, mm-hmm. I am pregnant. I am with child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yours. You want that child because you want that man, and you no longer want your man. So King David then goes from there further into a temptation
right.
by killing her husband, first trying to get him to lay with her so that he can, you know, cover it up, but it didn't work. So by not dealing with these things, you see how a test goes into a trial and a trial goes into a temptation. Now, we will go further into explaining the temptation from the standpoint of the New Testament and James chapter 1, verse 13, but we're going to stop here for right now. And we will go ahead and allow Evangelist Tanita Jones to be able to share the credit. And then
okay.
we will pick it up next week. Shalom, shalom.
So thank you again, Rabbi, for another great show. For those of you who need to know, the show is held on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions that you would like to have addressed by Rabbi on the show to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Beth Hashem Ministries, and we have two websites that you can reach us at, and that's www.bethhashem.org. That is BethHashem.org, as well as we have a Facebook page, and that web address is www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. That is BethHashemMinistries. If you would like to attend the services, please email us at bethashem@yahoo.org for directions. That is bethashem@yahoo.com. Also, for those of you that are interested in further study of Hebraic apologetics, we have Azul College, and you can email for information at admin@bethashem.org. That is admin at bethashem.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi.
Amen. Thank you. And I want to say this. None of us are exempt. All of us have challenges. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have areas where we really need to depend and rely on Yah. And it's been designed that way. The moment we begin to realize, wait a minute, this weakness has been designed for me to have a more intimate relationship. It's not been designed for me to try to struggle to do it myself.
Amen.
But instead to embrace Him. And embracing Him, He will give me the strength. He will give me the understanding. He will give me what I need to win and to fulfill the accomplishments of being victorious. For King David, he was given 5 stones and the ability to be a giant killer.
Mm-hmm.
In our life, we have to do some introspection and ask the question, the hard question, but it is the elephant in the room. Father, have I not been a giant killer in my own life, in areas that you've called me to do and to be? Quickly ask for forgiveness. Quickly ask Him to redirect and to re-guide you into how to accomplish that, so it doesn't go down your generation, so the curse causeless doesn't come.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you. Our desire is not for the curse causeless to come. We don't desire for it to go 3 to 4 generations down in our lineage and hinder us. We do desire for retribution and reconciliation and restoration. So, Father, we proclaim that right now over each and every person. Reveal to us, reveal to them exactly what they need to do to make amends and get back on the path. In Yahushua's name. Shalom, shalom, shalom.